Welcome to the Harrison Faith Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brian Herring. It's our prayer this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Last week we started a brand new series, and the series was simply this: recalculating. What do you do when life throws a curveball and you have to recalculate the direction you were always going? I had this GPS that I named Agnes, and for the longest, I could argue with Agnes. I can't argue with Sandra, but Agnes, I could say whatever I wanted to, too. And so when she would tell me I was going the wrong direction, I would say, no, I'm not. I know where I'm going. And she'd be recalculating. But then there was times where she got me out of some pretty good jams, too, because I didn't know where I was going. After we moved from the old system where you had to download and started using cell phones as the data, it was a lot better because, of course, it used up-to-date maps, as well as it let you know if there was traffic jams or wrecks ahead. And so a lot of times you could immediately just kind of say there's a wreck ahead. Yes, I want to recalculate and get you around some jams. That's kind of the way we've been operating the system. It seems like every time we turn around, there's a new problem, a new situation. And it seems like what's going around the world, whether it's through a pandemic, whether it's through social issues of the day, whether it's an election, no matter what we've been dealing with, it seems like something's got people frustrated, aggravated, and recalculating and changing directions. 3 weeks ago, Sandra and I had what equated to really allergies. I mean, we were sniffling and coughing at times, but not a lot. And just, we were running no fever, had no worries, no fears. Had some friends say, there's a lot of things going on. You really should get tested. You know, being pastors, you might want to check. Yeah, sure, that'll put people at ease. We'll do that. And we wanted to do the rapid test and couldn't find a rapid test in town, but they were able to send us over to Jasper, to the Boston Mountain Clinic. And they were able to set us up on a Monday at 3 o'clock. And we said, sure, we'll go up there. We're sitting in the parking lot up there, and we're making plans for that evening. What are we going to do? You want to go do something this evening? You want to go out to eat? What do you want to do? No idea what the news was about to come out. But it's never a good sign when they bring you paperwork. So when you see the lady coming out of the side and she's got paperwork, I looked at Sandra. I said, oh, that can't be good. Because originally she asked, she goes, do y'all need any paperwork for your jobs? We're like, no, we don't need any paperwork. So when she brought paperwork, it was obviously a sign that things were not as we had planned. And she said, you tested positive for COVID. I said, well, what's the chances of a false positive? She goes, the fact that both of you tested positive, probably not too great for a negative results or a wrong results. So then I got the joy of calling people. So, hey, we had a conversation. In fact, if y'all remember that Sunday beforehand, we had the Roberts come and speak for us. I had to call the Roberts and say, hey, you did a great job. Wonderful job. Enjoyed you coming. So we tested positive for COVID. And it just seems like life has been that way. It just seems like every time you turn around and it's frustrating, life doesn't turn out. You shut down for 2 weeks and then, of course, rumors and speculations about this outbreak at our church, if you haven't heard that one, which most people who have received outside of us didn't receive it at church, but a lot of people have gotten it other places. But, what's going to happen is going to happen. But that's just the way life is. My friend, my neighbor, Dan Watts, started coming to this church because Sandra and I would he was our neighbor. In fact, he was there, one of the first people we would meet face-to-face in our neighborhood. He's retired. He started building houses in our area. So I went over and talked to him one day, and we just started chatting up, had a great conversation, found out I was a pastor. And after several conversations after that, he goes, hey, I'd like to check out your church. And I said, well, man, we'd love to have you. I don't want to steal you away. He goes, no, we haven't been really going to our other churches, too far away. And so he visited church and said, me and my wife, we just, right when we came in, we said, this is it. This is where we want to be. So he started attending our church at the beginning of this year. And shortly after, of course, the COVID breakout, and they continue watching online, joined Randy Bardwell's class. Just a wonderful, wonderful family. A few weeks ago, Dan got COVID and went downhill fast. They put him in the hospital. They put him into the ICU COVID unit, talked about a vent. He didn't want a vent, but eventually had no choice. They had to put him on a vent, then talked about dialysis. And then they said those words where they said, we're just trying to make him comfortable. Friday night on 9/11, I get a call from Kathy saying that they've called her to come to the hospital to say goodbye. When I got on the phone with her, I put it on speaker and me and Sandra prayed. And I honestly, to goodness, I prayed and I believed. I mean, I just said, this, he's going to come through this. Dan's a strong man, strong. I mean, he's retired, but he's in good health. Everything's going to be fine. And I prayed. I said, God, I pray right now that oxygen would flow back in his blood and that he would receive all this stuff. I just believed. And I just thought, well, I'll get a good report. 11:20 that night, I get a call from Kathy's niece saying that Dan had passed away. The curveball. Dan right now is looking to make, is building some people's houses. In fact, there's a house next to me he hadn't finished, and a house behind me he was going to build for some people in Pennsylvania. And then he was going to start on Wesley Jones and Vanessa Jones's home, which y'all know her as Danny and Linda Valine's daughter. And they were praying too. In fact, for this couple, people had been waking up in the middle of the night praying for Dan. Curveball. All these houses started, no one to finish it. What do you do when life just again throws you another curveball? In fact, emotionally, Sandra and I were pretty good. After our little 2 weeks hiatus, we felt a lot of stress relief. It just kind of felt nice to not deal with church problems, stuff like that. But you talk about something breaking your heart in one day, in one moment. It was my neighbor hearing that he didn't make it from COVID. It's hard. What do you do every time you turn around? It seems like you're trying to steer away from trouble, but trouble comes. And I had this analogy. One thing that my daughter and I have learned to do, and Saunders joined us too, is we started playing golf together. And if your kids ever want to do anything with you, no matter what it is, just do it, because they will not always want to do stuff with you. But we started playing golf, and yesterday we needed to get out of the house. She'd been studying. I had been doing other things, and I'm just trying to get this whole process of hurt from my neighbor, my friend, off my mind. And so we go play golf yesterday, and we're doing pretty good. I mean, not to brag, but, you know, if I'm playing well and she messes up, I make up, and vice versa, if I mess up a shot, she's bailing me out. We're playing best ball. And we get to this hole at Holiday Hills, and there is this water on your right and land in front of you. And so I get up there and I say, no problem, I got my iron, I've been hitting good all day. Boom, water. I said, throw me another ball. Six balls I put right in the water. I said, well, obviously, this water's magnetized because, you know, this is weird. So Madison goes up, and where the ladies' tee box is, it's almost just like this. There's all land, water just to the right. As long as she doesn't hit directly right, it's going to be good. Three shots in a row, she literally hits directly right into the water. I said, turn more left. She goes, I'm turning left. And boom, goes straight right into the water. Now, as funny as that is, I just feel like that's the way life is right now. No matter, you say, I'm going to steer as far away from trouble as I can. I'm going to stay as far away of COVID as I can. I'm going to stay away from political issues. I'm not going to post anything. I'm going to stay away from anything that I can that's going to be controversial. And no matter what you do, it's going to hit you in the face. Sooner or later, problems are going to come, and you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to recalculate, and you're going to have to figure out where you stand on issues, where you don't, where you know, you're going to have to figure out how to engage in this situation. Pastor Caleb said, he came this morning, he said, I came and I said, God, I don't have a song this morning. And, you know, thank goodness we have a guy like Caleb who's going to find it. God's going to move in his life and do it. But I think a lot of people have come this morning, or you're watching online and you're like, God, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. I didn't even want to come to church today because I was struggling. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to deal with it. It's a struggle. But here's what I want to encourage you with. As you're turning to 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 is what we're going to deal with today. I've titled the message, When My World Comes Crashing Down. When your world comes crashing down, here's what I want you to know. I believe that God wants to bless you. I believe he wants to pour out his blessing on you, even in a pandemic. Even when it seems like every time you turn around, life is going crazy, when life is going bad, I believe that God still wants to bless you. And so I want to give you four things today about how you can be blessed even in the most horrible, what seems like chaotic situations, and life is just constantly like that. When your world comes crashing down, how can you still be blessed? 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 tells a story that's very familiar to most of us, and if it's not, hopefully we will refamiliarize with it. But it says, one day a widow, a member of the group of prophets, came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband, who served you, is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two boys, my two sons, as slaves." Here's a lady. She is serving the Lord. Her husband, many of you kind of follow history, study the Bible at all. Elijah started a prophet school. He was one of the main characters, a major prophet of the day. And so he started a prophet school. And when he was taken away in a whirlwind, his apprentice Elisha took over. And Elisha was continuing on with this prophet school. And out of these prophet school, there were many prophets. In fact, I was going to talk about it a little bit later, but many people, in fact, Josephus, one of the Jewish scholars who study history, believe that this prophet who died was Obadiah. Obadiah has one chapter dedicated to him in the Old Testament, but they believe that this widow is the widow of Obadiah. And so in following this, here is a guy who's literally given his life to the Lord and is wanting to serve in ministry, has gone and done the proper things, and now this lady has lost it. She has nothing to sell. He doesn't have a business or a trade to sell. He's in ministry, so he's broke. He's in ministry. He doesn't have anything to sell off. He doesn't have anything to give away. So she can't sell the business. She can't sell stuff. All she is a widow with two sons. And the creditors are like, you know, you got to give us something. Heard you have two boys. I heard they're hard workers. The very first thing, if you want to be blessed, you're going to have to do is you're going to have to identify. You're going to have to be aware of what your need is. What is the need that God is trying to help you with? What is that one thing in your life? See, so many times we go to God and we just throw out there, "God, I need you to fix this problem." Well, what's the problem you really want to get at? Do you want to get at the problem of the natural need? Do you want to get to the physical need, the spiritual need? Do you want to get to the heart of the issue? Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's forgiveness. What is the real issue of the issue? You've got to identify what is the real issue. You see, this family has financial issues, spiritual issues, physical issues, situation. They're in the middle of it. This is a story about a woman whose life is not turning out the way she had hoped. Everything that she had thought about life, everything she had dreamed about life is not turning out the way she had hoped. Like most of us, she had the perfect dream. Here we are. We're going to get married. My husband's going into ministry. It sounds great on the outside. You know? He's going to preach. He's going to share the wonderful word of God. He's a prophet. He's going to do great things. We're going to have kids. We have two boys. They're going to grow up. They're going to marry wonderful daughter-in-laws. And I'm going to be a great mother-in-law. I'm not going to be like my mother-in-law. I'm going to be a good mother-in-law. They're going to do this. And so they raise it up and say, you know, one day we're going to have grandkids. It's going to be so great. We're going to have grandkids. And they're dreaming together. And all of a sudden life comes crashing down because he passes away. All of a sudden, what do you do when everything you, all your dreams fall completely apart? They did everything right, had everything planned, dedicated their life to ministry. And now in this one moment, everything changes and everything's turned upside down. They're at the point that if God doesn't intervene, they have nowhere else to turn and they're about to lose everything, including their family. Desperate situations, desperate times. With time running out and nowhere else to go, she goes to the prophet, she goes to the pastor and says, "You got to help me. I don't know where else to go. I don't have anywhere else to turn to." Life is right now so crazy. Do you know 19 years ago, this past Friday, 9/11, I remember where I was. I was pastoring a church, ironically by the name of Faith Assembly of God, in Denison, Texas. I remember I was at the hospital at a minister alliance meeting because we had it in their boardroom. They allowed us to meet. And we were all gathered around and we were talking about prayers and just getting ready to pray. And a guy comes in because we were just about to start and says, "Did y'all see on the news today before you came in? One of the planes hit one of the towers over in New York." Crazy. I wonder how you got so far off. Something went wrong. Moments later, somebody else comes in, rushing in the room and says, there was another plane that just hit the tower. And of course, a while back, we go home. I remember picking up my son from school, picking up my daughter from daycare, and going home and watching the news. I was at home by the time the second tower fell, came crushing to the ground and nothing but rubbles. And for weeks, TV programs weren't on. Nobody watched any exciting little drama or any exciting little thing. For weeks, we sat around our TV set and watched what was happening in New York City. And I remember hosting a prayer meeting the night it happened. And the night we had a prayer meeting, the prayer meeting was packed. The church was literally packed from one side to the other, and people were praying. People who didn't even go to our church showed up, just praying for our nation, praying. And I'll tell you, 19 years ago, I've never during my lifetime remember a nation being so united behind one cause. We were going to stand together. We were going to stand strong. We were going to stand brave. We were going to stand against tyranny. We were going to stand against all the things that it would come against this great nation, one nation under God. People who didn't even vote for our president, President Bush, were supporting it and saying, man, this is great leadership. They were excited about what he was doing, and he got propelled to a second election because of the unity that was behind one nation. And then in a moment, 19 years later, a pandemic hits. We've never seen a nation so divided. We've never seen such uncertainty. Again, something that takes our breath, pulls us back. What causes us to dig in and say, something's got to be better than this moment? What is going on? I don't feel like I have control over anything. Family over arguing with family and friends with friends. People are deleting each other off of Facebook. Crazy. In this moment, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2, he goes, and the prophet Elisha just says, what can I do to help you? What can I do? I want to help you. He's got a desire to help. He's kind of coming there, and he says, tell me, what do you have in your house? She says, nothing at all except for a flask of oil. Isn't that an interesting question? What do you have in your house? What do you have to offer? What do you have to invest? I've learned something being in ministry. People need to be invested. When I was a youth pastor, we would have we would have events, and we used to just say it's free, and people would sign up, and we would buy pizza, we'd buy everything based on the number of people who signed up. But you know what we learned? People who sign up and don't pay anything, they don't feel a need to show up either. But if they pay something, charge anything, cheap cost, $5. That mom and that daddy says, we got $5 we ain't getting back. You're going, we done paid. You're headed, you're going to get yourself up out of that bed, stop playing video games, you're going to the church. We paid $5. You're going to camp. Listen, we already invested half the money. The church paid the other half, but I had to pet up half the money. You're going to camp whether you want to or not. You'd be surprised how many people you pay for camp and they just bail out. See, we don't think of being good stewards over God's money, just over our own, but that's neither here nor there. That's touchy, right? Meddling. here's the issue. It's what do you have to invest in the situation? See, God wants to bless you, but he wants to start with where you're going to be at. Faith without works is dead. There's got to be an investment in the process. It's an interesting question. She says, I don't have anything but some oil. Nothing more. And this oil was probably olive oil. It was nothing more than common cooking oil or heating oil to heat up the place. And it was just used for that, for fuel. And so he says, what's in your house? And if you're taking notes, this is a great place to take notes. The key to your blessing is already in your possession, just waiting for your obedience so that God can activate it in your life. When I was studying, that hit me like a ton of bricks. I believe what you need is already within your position. God is waiting for your obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience, it's that obedience to the word of God, not obedience to everything else. Obedience to the Word of God. And you have to realize, what is God wanting to activate in your life? What is already in your possession that God is wanting to use? I believe it. We've got to turn to the Word of God like never before. Do you know the Bible is our guidebook for living? It's in there. God has already put within our possession what we need. A measure of faith is within you. A measure of action is within you. I believe, but God wants to start where you are. Verse 3, it says, and Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and from your neighbors. What's in your position? All I have is a little oil. Well, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You may only have a little oil, but go borrow as many jars and as many vessels as you can from your friends, from your neighbors. I don't care. Go to family. Go to anybody you can. Go to somewhere and find it. Listen, sometimes you have to realize we are dependent upon the relationships that we have with one another. In fact, we're ashamed to talk to people. But do you know we're to bear one another's burdens? It's hard to ask for help. But you can't make... In fact, one of our core values is life is better together. We were meant to do life with one another. We're to bear one of those burdens. So she said, go find some vessels. So she goes and she looks and says, well, I got my friend and my neighbor. Here's my cousin. Yeah, here's some more. Yeah. All right, so here's some vessels. I've got some. This is good. So you just kind of start. Listen, Lord... and she's getting these empty vessels saying, ooh, this is good. Oh, you know what I just remember? I just remember that down the road, they still owe me something. And they've got one of my Tupperware dishes because, you know, you can't do it without your Tupperware dishes. And, my father-in-law and all of them, they've got some vessels. So I've got some more vessels. I don't want to ask too many people because I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want people to know I'm in need and about to go sell my kids to slavery. But, man, isn't this great? Man, we're just going to start here. This is good. Here's some vessels we can start with because I got to start with something. I gathered everything I have. Now I'm gathering those I can borrow because, listen, your capacity to be blessed is within your possession, but you have to be willing to invest in it. I think there's some more. In fact, I think I can go to Pastor Brian's house. He probably has some vessels and, you know, Sondra has some. In fact... My sister-in-law, she has some vessels because she never cooks. So I'm sure I can borrow from my sister. My sister-in-law, you know, she never cooks. My brother goes hungry all the time. And my sister-in-law's watching. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about the other sister-in-law. Anyway. just a few more. You know, what's a few more? I think I can get some more. And she went till she couldn't find anybody else to borrow. I think this is it. So she goes, here's the empty vessels. He says, get as much as you can. Here's the deal. When we look to God for help, what do we expect? See, here it is. A lot of times we only get out of God what we expect, and a lot of times we don't expect very much. So we just say, Lord, if you can just get this thing started. Lord, I'm in a financial situation. If you can just make something come. And then a credit card comes in the mail, and we're like, thank you, Lord, for the credit. No, God doesn't bless you with credit card. God doesn't make you pay interest on a blessing. That's a terrible gift. So we wait, we sell out short, all because we just think that's the God we serve. He's just going to help me get out of this situation. We're not looking for long-term blessing. We just want to get out of this pinch, and then out of the next pinch, and then out of the next pinch. And we're just surviving day by day, and we never truly get true deliverance from what God's really wanting to do in our life. Verse 4, he goes on, he says, then go into your house. You've gathered all the vessels. Go into your house with your sons, go with your family, and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one on the side when it is filled. The next thing you have to do to get blessed is you must trust God's will in every situation. I've got to trust God's will in every situation. I love this. I love this thing. He says, go into the house and shut the door. One of the very first things you need to do if you really want to get blessed is you need to go get alone with God and shut the world out. You need to shut the world out. You need to go into your house. You need to shut the door, shut the world out from behind you and say, just me and you, God. Lord, whatever you're going to have, Lord, I've been obedient to your word. I've been obedient to what you're asking me to do. Lord, I know that I need a blessing and I don't have it on my own. So I'm starting right here by shutting everything else out. And listen, you can't shut the door and keep letting it in, watching everything else. I'm sick and tired of talking about the news, but I'm sick and tired of people telling me about the news. Listen, CNN, Fox News, ABC is not my source of hope. It's this. The Bible is our guidebook for living. And so I've got to get along. I can't keep inviting the world in. See, here's the problem. Most of our vessels are full with wrong things. I get hungry. There's a bag of chips. There's a candy bar, Snickers. And then it's time for dinner, and I come into the house, and Saunders cooked, and she's made a nice meal, and I'm like, you know what, I'm really full. You're full? What did you eat? Well, I snacked all day. Here's the problem. We get so full of the world that we don't leave room when it's time for God to fill us up. And so when he wants to fill us up, there's not much room left. We give God the leftover space. There's just a little bit of space. Yeah, I don't have much. So listen, I know I shouldn't have, but I'm full of everything else, and I'm really tired. It's late at night, but I've got to read my Bible. So Lord, just fill up what's left. I know I didn't mind watching all my favorite TV shows, and I watched a little American Ninja Warrior, and I don't know. I've watched a few other things, and I watched the news, but Lord, I'll give you 5 minutes now. Let me just fill me up with the rest of the way, Lord. Just fill me up the rest of the way. Here's my leftovers. God, just take my leftovers. That's what we give him. And then we wonder why we don't flow in God's anointing. We realize we don't wonder why we don't flow in God's presence. And we wonder why we don't flow in these other things. It's because we're so full of all the junk that we've crammed in our lives. It's amazing. You'll spend hours moving and scrolling through Instagram and Facebook, but you won't spend hours in the Word of God. And then when the world falls apart, we're like, God, where were you? He says, I was where I've always been while you were scrolling. We spend our life, keep scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. You know what? There's no answer in your scrolling. There's no answer in your Facebook. There's no answer in your phone. There's no answer in your text message. There is no answer that you're going to find in a TV screen or a phone screen or a tablet screen. You're only going to find the answer when you seek after God. When I dive into his word and I dive into his presence, those are the only things that's going to set me apart and be able to let me focus on and say, God, I'm shutting out the world. Fill me. God, I'm shutting out everything else. I don't have time. I'm so tired of people saying they're going to fast Facebook. Just delete it. So, you know, we fast things that we know are feeding poor things in our life. In fact, Your best news source, is it TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, or anything else? Your best place to receive the good news is from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The widow had to shut the door. She had to get along with God. She had to give him her undivided attention. Undivided attention. Well, I'm just going to do my YouVersion app. There's nothing wrong with YouVersion. I'm thankful for Life Church. I'm thankful for what they do. Don't misunderstand. But here's what we do. I'm going to get on my YouVersion app, and I'm going to go ahead and do today's devotion. Oh, look, that's a pretty meme. Let me post that real quick. Huh. Pastor Brian posted something. Well, he's with the church. Let me check what he said. Huh. Oh, here's a pop-up. Oh, look, here's Harrison Daily Times. Oh, wow, there's something Trump said. Something Biden said, nope, don't want to see that, don't want to see that. I got to leave for work. And that's where our day goes. Then we come in and say, I'm going to make up for that evening. Oh, I'm going to make up for that evening. I'm going to make it up. And then we come in and it's like, what do you need to do? I need your help over here. You haven't done this. Take out the trash while I'm cooking dinner. We're doing all the stuff that we finally sat down. You want to sit at the table? No, let's just sit in front of the TV. We sit in front of the TV, we watch shows, we get tired, I'm about to fall asleep. What are you going to do? Well, I guess I'm going to go try to get on my phone a little bit before I go to bed, and we start reading. So I guess I need to do my devotion. And then we're like, God, where were you? God, where were you? God, don't you see what's happening in the world? God, don't you see what's happening in my life? Don't you see my friend has passed away? God, don't you see what's going on? God, where are you at? God's where he's always been, but we spent so much time getting caught up in the junk and the dirt and filling up in this world that has nothing left to offer us. Nothing to offer us. Nothing, nothing, nothing. At the end of the day, we're going to say, I've done nothing. And people, our neighbors, are dying and going to hell. Our loved ones, our kids, our friends are dying and going to hell. We're too busy trying to think of something creative to post and look Christian rather than just be the church. Stop looking Christian. Nobody cares. Nobody looks at you and say, oh goodness, look at a great Christian they are. You will know them by their works. You will know them by their deeds. What have you done for the kingdom of God? And you know what you can't do? You can't do anything flowing from an empty vessel. Verse 5. So she did all she was told. She didn't cut corners. She didn't say, well, I'll get everything in my house. It's really weird to go talk to my neighbors and my friends about my need. She didn't worry about being embarrassed. She didn't do it part of the way. She did everything she was told. Imagine that. She didn't obey part of the word that was convenient. She obeyed the entirety of the word that was given. You want to know why you're half blessed? Because you half pay attention. I'm not meaning to be ugly. I want you to understand. I've been telling you for weeks that we're the church. The church is not this building. And if we think it's about coming into a building, we've missed it from the very beginning because the church has never been God's design to be a building. It's meant to be people who are going out and being Christ in the world. That's the church. And so we need to be doing what God has been calling them to do all along. And so her sons kept bringing the jars to her as she filled them one after another, and soon the container were full to the brim. Bring another jar, she said to her, one of her sons, there aren't any more. Then the olive oil stopped flowing. Notice the oil didn't stop until the vessels were gone. Number 3, if you want to be blessed, you show your faith through acts of obedience. She did exactly what she was told to the smallest detail. Unlike Nehemiah in the very next chapter, chapter 5, where he didn't want to do it. He had to be convinced to do it. Nehemiah was told, if you want to be cleansed of leprosy, go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. He goes, I'm not doing that. Nasty old water, I ain't doing that. Do you know who I am? Not Nehemiah, Naaman. I'll get it right in a minute. Right chapter, wrong name, Naaman. But you know what? His servant says, you would have done anything else. Why would you not do this? He got convinced to do it. I wonder what would have happened if he would have obeyed the first time and not had to be convinced. Because one thing we see about this woman, we're fixing to read where she didn't just have enough to get her out of trouble, but to live on thereafter through the entire famine. Here it is. True faith is always expressed through obedience to God's word. True faith is always expressed through obedience to God's word. God, what are you telling me to do? Not what anybody else is telling me to do. What are you telling me to do? I want to do that. Faith without works is dead. Here's the deal. No obedience, no blessing. No faith, no miracle. She was blessed until there were no empty vessels left. You can have a miracle. You can do everything. But you listen, once the vessels are empty, until there were no empty vessels, let me tell you, I have some vessels in my home that I want to see blessed. I've got kids that are running on empty that I want to see full to overflowing. I got some people in my life that I've been praying for a long time that I'm just like, Lord, fill them up. I remember the old hymn I mentioned in the first service. He will fill your hearts today to overflowing. Bring your vessels, not a few. For the Lord has promised you. And then he says what? And then you'll be filled with that Holy Ghost and power. I believe God wants to fill us today with his presence. You see, everywhere you read in Scripture, see, the Bible's full of symbolism. And everywhere you read about oil, it's a symbol of the anointing. It's the symbol of the anointing, of the Holy Spirit moving. And I believe it's just that. We want to see the anointing move in our church again. We want to see people healed, delivered, set free from all sorts of things. And we need that. We need some bondage-breaking, yoke-breaking anointing that is going to change lives and families forever. She was blessed until there was no more empty vessels. Verse 7, when she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, go sell all the oil and pay off your debts. And then you and your sons will live on what is left over. Number 4, never limit the blessings of God. Our blessing is limited to our capacity to receive. So expand your ability to receive. Our blessing may be limited to our capacity to receive. God didn't just meet her immediate need. He met her long-term need. Because God doesn't want to just get you through this thing. God wants you to be blessed beyond it. It's going to strengthen your faith. It's going to strengthen your attitude. It's going to strengthen who you are when you begin to trust God. God is good to those who trust him. God is good to those who desire, and he desires to bless them. Listen, do not limit God in what he can do in your lives. As I'm closing, let me just say this. All throughout Scripture, when you see the symbolism of the Holy Spirit, so let me ask you this. What is the Holy Spirit making you aware of in your life and in your family that you need to do today? What is the Holy Spirit stirring up on the inside of you? Are you willing to trust God regardless of what the situation looks like? What is God asking you to do today? Whatever you do today, do not put a limit on God. I'm praying that for each and every one of you, God would pour out his presence upon you and that the anointing would hit you and your family and that it would last far beyond a service. I don't live for services. Don't get me understand. It's going to sound wrong. Pastor doesn't live for services. Listen, I love the service. But I want you to have a beyond the altar experience. If your experience only lasts to the altar, man, boy, have we missed a lot. There's a lot of scripture missing in there. It's beyond the altar. It's the altar is what happens when you're stirred by the sermon of God and the anointing moves and you're stirred to an emotional movement in that moment. But if all you do is come to the altar and feel bad or feel upset or feel inspired or feel empowered in that moment, and you don't do anything with it, it's like hearing the word and doing nothing with it. You can't be just a hearer today. You got to be a doer. So here's what I want you to do. I don't want you just to hear this time. I want you to just be stirred up in this moment. I want you to take this word, and I want you to take it out there to your homes, to your personal life, to your jobs, to everywhere you go. And I want you to spread this thing because people are empty and they're hungry and they're looking for answers, and we have it. I pray that your bellies be full of living water that flows, that fills the people around you everywhere you go. That people say there's something different. In fact, many of us need to get discipled and grow in the Lord. You need to be here Wednesday night. I don't care how tired you are after work. I don't care how, listen, we'll go to ball games tired. We'll go do a bunch of things we don't want to do when we're tired. Let's sacrifice. So that we can be in the presence and grow in our faith, and so that we can stand firm as believers and do what God has called us to do all along.